host of Open Loops with Greg Bornstein, Conversations That Bend here. Hey, don't tell anyone, but it's part two of our Law of Attraction series. If you want to find out more, go back to episode one. We're exploring manifestation and many different approaches to it. In today's episode, we have Ramona Gailey. She is a vibrational mentor and a channeler of Oprah. So am I on my best days. It's all coming up here on Open Loops. Today on Open Loops, Ramona Gailey, the vibrational mentor. Yes, we so much those words are very loaded. I know there's channeling involved. I know there's infinite intelligence, higher consciousness. Great words for the listeners here in Open Loops. Very excited to chat. Ramona, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, Greg, thanks so much for having me. This is really exciting to be here. I'm so glad to be joining you in this conversation. Really looking forward to it.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, you know, I always love figuring out the way people go from waking life, waking reality to, I mean, you could argue that these days, you hear about this all the time. You hear about the rainbow children, the indigo children, star seeds, people waking up and being spiritual when they're younger. But usually people, most people I've talked to, they might come from a corporate background. They might have just a regular suburban life, raising kids, and then all of a sudden something opens up. What was it for you? Where did the vibrational mentorship come into your life?
Well, my partner died. My partner died in my arms, and I thought she was my only source of unconditional love. So I was going to join her. I was going to go with her, and I fully intended to clean up a couple of things and then join her in the afterlife. And the phone rang instead. And so it was her friend Lordella, and Lordella said, "Well, you got to stop thinking like that." And I don't even remember what I was saying. I was crying, and I said, "Yeah, I agree, but I don't know how." I was 55. I'd been looking for some sort of spiritual awakening my entire life. I had tried everything. Felt like I'd tried everything, but so she introduced me to Abraham Hicks' Law of Attraction, and I just took to it like a duck to water, and I immersed myself in it because I knew that my life depended on it. And so I've studied it probably a little harder than most people have. It just resonated. And we're going to get going with the vibrational talk. It just resonated from top to bottom, side to front, you know, everything. And so I became a coach fairly quickly. And then I had yet another spiritual awakening and realized that I was receiving source, similar to the way Esther Hicks does with Abraham. And so I've been doing that for people ever since. And I don't even know where to start. I'm sure you'll start us somewhere with a great question, but it's just been just mind-boggling, life-changing, everything-changing for me.
So when you're, I mean, already, I imagine that a lot of the Abraham Hicks stuff, when you're reading it, it definitely does have a mind-blowing component to it. And there are a lot of people I've spoken with, manifestation coaches, law of attraction, hypnotists, people that buy into this idea of the energy you put out into the world is what you're going to get back, and then using that power to manifest, and already that's there. You know, how much deeper does it go when all of a sudden you start channeling something?
Well, so here's the thing. Most people think, interpret law of attraction, and a lot of people actually teach law of attraction as what you think about, you get. And which is true to a certain extent. If I think about a lot of really awful stuff before I go to bed at night, I get, nightmares. And if I think about enough awful stuff consistently enough in my life, I'll get sick, but that's really not the secret. That's not really how it works. I mean, it is, but it's not everything. It's just scratching the surface. The thing is, you have to feel it. If you want to make a change in your life, you have got to feel it. You've got to feel it viscerally. You've got to get on board with it emotionally. You've got to visualize it. You've got to be there. You've got to become it, whatever it is. You have to match it vibrationally. And to do that, you have to be able to get into your body. And most of us are so separated from our bodies. We're not actually separated, but we lose our perception of our bodies from the neck down, especially women. And, by the time we hit puberty or get all the way through puberty, most women are really kind of out of touch with their bodies, and really a lot of men too. And if you can't feel it somewhere in your body, then you're not feeling it. If you can't feel it emotionally to the point where you're ready to laugh or cry genuinely, you're not feeling it. If you're not feeling it, you're not going to attract it.
Yeah.
You're not going to attract it. So that's the secret. And I got into the hot seat with Abraham my first year, and they told me that. I asked, the question I needed to ask, and then I chewed on it for about 3 years, and then I started teaching it. And then just one day, it just all of a sudden became very clear that was my next step, because I was craving a very much more direct, almost conversational relationship with source, because by then I was feeling it in my body. I was following my guidance. I was creating videos for clients and really living the life. But there was that one other level. And I'm sure there's another level too. I don't know what it is yet, but I mean, that one level was like, get so out of the way mentally that the body and the emotions can become as one and really join with source in such a beautiful dance. It's so beautiful. And I'm still exploring it and allowing it to unfold and to flower in my life. And my life is definitely reflecting, that increase of resonance for me.
Yeah, that is very fascinating. I'm curious, what was it? When did you get to ask a question to Abraham? What was the context? Were you in a seminar?
I've been on 7 or 8 Abraham cruises and multiple other just land workshops. And it was on my second cruise with them. We were in Alaska in July of, that would have been 2015. And, I had made a lot of good Abrahamster. We call each other Abrahamsters a lot. I had made some good Abrahamster friends, and yeah, some of whom had been in the hot seat. And so I asked them a lot of detailed questions. How do you do it? I really wanted to talk to them, even though I was Betty had just died. Let's see, that would have been like 9 months before. I was very much still experiencing a lot of grief, like physically being knocked over, like falling to the floor in just pure grief. And so I was still learning how to deal with that, how to understand what I was going through, and how to raise my own vibration, very intentionally, how to choose my focus. I was still learning the basics, basically, but I was really into it. And I was out of alignment, a lot of mixed vibration. In other words, high, low, high, low, high, high, low,
right,
low, low,
right,
high, low, and all over the place, bouncing like a ball. And so anyway, I got myself up there, not through alignment, but just through sheer desire. And, it's such a great metaphor. In life, we can accomplish anything we want. We can do it through desire and go ahead and just plow through all the resistance, the beliefs that say, well, I'm not really worth it, or that can't really happen, or it's impossible, or I don't have enough education, I'm too old, I'm a woman, I'm Black, whatever it is that we can have this really strong resistant belief that can get in the way. And if we have enough desire, we can just plow right through those beliefs. But it's kind of the hard way to go. It's like driving down the freeway at 80 miles an hour with all your brakes on, right? It's there's a lot of friction.
Right.
And so that's how I got up there that day. The easier way to do things in life is to release all your resistance as much as possible whenever you notice it. And you do that not by struggling with it, but by letting it go, by focusing on something else, like the hey, lick, squirrel, that works really well. Like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, squirrel. flower, hummingbird, like just to completely distract yourself and choose your own focus. So, and that's the way most people get into the hot seat. They've already practiced enough that they have a consistent high vibration. And, but that's not how I did it. I did it through sheer force. I just like forced my way up there.
That's interesting. I wonder about that in relation to what the Buddha talked about with desire and attachment to outcome and saying that desire is the root of all suffering and all this stuff. Not, you know, that this kind of notion that I want to have a spiritual connection. I want to experience this. You know, sometimes, I mean, that's amazing. Do you think there's anything specifically that is part of your story that allowed you to have success with desire versus others?
Well, I mean, you said it. You already gave the answer that the Buddha already gave it to, the attachment. So you have to learn to release attachment. And so the desire is not actually what feels bad. When we are desiring something and it doesn't feel good, it's the negative connotations or negative beliefs that go with it, all the resistance, and it's the attachment. So I would, you know, anytime I'm not feeling good about my desires, I would change that word from, it's not that I desire it, it's that I'm yearning for it. I'm grasping for it. I'm trying to greedily pull it to me, like with, you know, desperation kind of.
Yeah,
that's what feels bad. It's the desire itself is beautiful. It's so beautiful because the entire universe welcomes our desires and starts moving immediately. And we don't know about the time, and the time is really kind of our deal. The universe really isn't a time. And it just starts moving to fulfill our desires as soon as before we even know we have them, the universe starts to move to grant our desires. So the desire itself is beautiful and easy and full of love. It's all the other crap. It's all the story and the attachment that goes with it that ruins it. And that's, I really do believe that's what Buddha was saying. And I believe that's what you're saying too.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were able in this moment with Abraham to surrender the attachment. And it worked for you as opposed to this releasing method that you described that's more effective.
Well, I wouldn't say I was able to release my attachment that day. I just had such a huge desire. I just plowed through every bit of resistance that I had. It was not pretty.
I'm just saying, let's tell the Buddha that it is possible here. Let's stick it to the Buddha for a second and give you credit, Ramona.
Well, I think the Buddha would agree that when, if your desire is strong enough, you can do it. But it's not, it just doesn't feel good. And of course, the Buddha always taught, you know, about alignment and resonance. And so the same thing what we're talking about. So we get to choose. We get to choose whether we go through life, you know, like hell in a handbasket, or whether we go more easily and different ways at different times. But I really think Buddha would agree with this. We're just, you know, what the quotes are is for most situations. I think it's you know, there are politicians and there are, you know, celebrities, and there are people who make huge contributions and you know, really accomplish incredible things and then die young, you know, in the car crash or the plane crash or the assassination. They use it up. There's so much friction. I really like the metaphor of going down. I mean, there's only so much brake material, and once you've burned through it, you know, you're done. Now you've got sparks, now you've got fire, now you've got, you know, explosions, and who knows what's going to happen after that. So I really think that both are true. Like, we can hold both of those paradigms together.
Yeah, fascinating. Okay, so then you start going into this work, it deepens for you. What is the moment that the infinite intelligence comes through to you in the unique way that it does now?
So I had gone hiking. I was in Asheville for another Abraham workshop. They do, or used to do before COVID, 2-day workshops in Asheville. And I was with my good friend, Shannon, and we were hiking around, and she was telling me about all these experiences she was having. And by the end of the day, I heard myself saying, and I had no preconceived notion of this, no premeditation, but I just said, I'm going to do that. That's for me. That's me that you're describing. I'm going to do that. And she was like, oh, okay. You know, like you say, well, I'm going to go to the store, or yeah, I'd like to go to
Yes.
college someday, or whatever. And so that was the end of that. And then I started telling people, some people that were there for the weekend, good friends, Bob and Flora. And through a kind of a long story, I ended up at their house the following weekend, and I had told them that I was going to do this. And they've been listening and attending Abraham workshops for just decades, and so they're very comfortable with the subject. And Flora said, "Well, will you receive for us since you're going to be doing it?" I was like, "Oh yeah, sure." And we were having dinner that night. The next day, we had a chainsaw party, and we were cutting down stuff. It's kind of a long story. Anyway, she said again, "Would you receive for us?" Oh, absolutely, yeah. And then the third time, and I will say there was alcohol involved.
Right, great.
Of course. And so she said, "Will you receive for us?" Okay. She said, "How about now?" And I was like, "Now?" Now? Yeah. So the three of us sat down in their living room, and she proceeded to start asking me questions. You know, I got into my best semblance of a trance state, and she started asking me questions. He ended up asking me some questions, and I had enough of a positive experience in terms of how it felt, the answers, some of the answers I was giving, how it felt to be giving those answers, which was just very different from anything I had experienced. It was just enough for me to say, you know what, I think there's something here, you know. So I did it again, and next thing I knew, I've pretty much with two specific time period exceptions, I've received for at least one client every single day since then. And it just became a part of my life. It's like a fiber of my life. It's like the deepest meditation you could ever imagine. And the entity that I receive calls themselves Oprah, not with the H, just
I know. I found that very
Oprah.
interesting.
Yeah.
If you were a marketer, you came up with a great. I mean, look, I know that's not what your intention was, but
No.
if I were
In fact, I
coming up
was,
with it.
yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but I was very resistant to that name because I was like, I am not going to tell people that I am channeling Oprah. There's just no frigging way, and that's
That
not the F
said, I
word I
now want to
use.
start a business that rivals you, where I channel the actual Oprah just to
Do
see.
you really?
I want to get Oprah Winfrey channel. I want to channel her just so people now can get the source. You gave me this great idea here. No, but that's so interesting. Oprah, what is the do you know anything? I always wonder, you know, there's Abraham, there's Seth, these names that sound
Oh, I
they
know
come out of the
exactly where the
Bible.
name came from because I was
Yeah.
so resistant to it. And I got a friend and colleague to ask some questions. And it took three or four sessions before we finally figured out how to ask the right questions. Because Oprah will answer a question with one word and just assume, okay, we're done with that subject. What next? You know, because they feel like they've summarized, and they do frequently in one word. They can summarize the entire conversation. They're really good at it. But then we're sitting there going, well, wait a minute. We need more than that because we're humans. So we had like
Yeah.
three different conversations, and the last one, he said, well, Oprah, you know, we get the impression that it's you know, kind of a joke about this name. And Ramona thinks maybe you're kind of, you know, like laughing at her or making fun of her or something, you know. And they said, no, it's just a purely a joke. And he said, well, can you explain the joke to us? And they said, well, sure. A hot seater was in the hot seat with Abraham once and was telling them a story and said, well, I heard this on Oprah and she said, blah, blah, blah. Oh, do you know Oprah? And Abraham said, yes, it's where we get all of our information in jest. And so that was the joke, was that here I am, Oprah. Now, that doesn't make me Oprah Winfrey. It was just the joke. It was no one
Right.
ever be Oprah Winfrey. It was just the joke was we're going to call ourselves Oprah because that's where Abraham gets all their information. Just purely like a little
Interesting.
tweak at Abraham in just, you know, in fun. And so anyway, when that happened, it was notable that I finally understood. Then all my resistance left as soon as I heard that, because I remembered that hot seater. I remembered that session when they had done that. It was really funny. I ha actually It's on the video, so you could actually see it. You know, they don't put out really videos anymore. It's all audio, but they do have some earlier videos. And so I saw Esther's, you know, expression on her body when Abraham was saying that's always where we get all of our information. And it was hilarious. And It was also the first time that Oprah and I and another person, another human, sat there, the three of us, as three distinct entities and laughed.
Oh.
And so I really remember that moment because it was like, wow, this is so cool because we're sitting here laughing together, the three of us. I think it was the first time I really understood how distinctly separate, even though they're part of me, but they're distinctly separate in a very kind of specific way. I don't even know if I can describe it, but it's palpable. And that was the first time I felt it, you know, so that was a really cool moment.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued by this experience and things that let you know that this is actually an infinite intelligence coming through. I mean, what are the physiological experiences? What is, you know, I imagine that, I don't know. I don't know what your interest in this kind of thing would be. I mean, given that you said that you weren't really, you know, you didn't really have this spiritual connection before all of this. Was there something immediately that let you know, okay, this isn't just my subconscious mind coming for me, this is outside of me?
Well, the answers that that Oprah gave before they had a name, you know, for Flora and Bob, they were like, when I said there were just enough instances during that conversation, what I mean is things that there's no way that I could have known. For example, there was a question, do you know how so-and-so got their name? And of course, this was brand new to me. And so if I didn't get an answer pretty quickly, I would just say, you know, move on to the next question. And I had to learn the patience. Ramona, the human, had to learn to be a little bit patient because the connection with Oprah was slow at first. You know, there's a lot of, you know, pauses in the conversations with Oprah early on. First of all, they used very few words. And second of all, I would like double and triple check what they were telling me to make sure I was understanding it correctly. So I was slowing down the process. So, and this is the very first conversation. So I didn't get anything right away, except that my hand came up and started touching. I was wearing a necklace that I actually bought on an Abe cruise. So that was cool. So I started touching that necklace. And I finally said, I don't know. Move next question. And then later, when it was just the three of us sitting there again, and I said, by the way, how did so-and-so get her name? And she said, well, every time we would go to a restaurant, she would take her teeth out and stick her teeth in her bra. And when she said that, I was like, oh yeah, because the desire to touch was actually a little bit below the necklace, but I was touching the necklace because there was nothing else there. It was just skin. And so, you know, when I thought, I was like, oh, yeah, I was actually responding to the question with something there I would have absolutely no way of knowing. This is a person that's deceased now, and it was years ago, and it was from this woman's childhood. And, you know, those kinds of things, just that I would have no way of knowing. And then the other way was the way it felt. Like one of the questions was, why did such and such happen? And the answer was very certain. Such and such did not happen. It did not happen. So it, you know, in other words, it was a reframing. You could say, well, that's just a standard positivity coach thing. But the feeling in it was what was the indicator to me. There was a certainty, a knowing, a lovingness that at that time was frankly a bit beyond me. I wasn't as well seated in my unconditional love as I am now. And I don't, you know, I'm not perfect in unconditional love, but I'm a lot better now because I've been receiving unconditional love from Oprah for every day for, you know, over 2 years. So I have healed. Oprah, receiving Oprah, has healed so much in me that I didn't even know needed healing.
What? And, yeah.
Loving connection, feeling love, the love of source, feeling the ability to actually connect with people, to not be afraid of people, the ability to actually talk to trees and to hear mountains that are really far away. And just all these different things have healed in me that I just didn't know about them before. Like when somebody, when a client is sitting there summoning, you know, this is why we need another human, because all I can do is receive. I can't summon and receive at the same time. And actually, I've gotten better at that. But in the beginning, especially, I really had to be on one channel or the other. And so So I needed a human to summon an answer from Oprah. And so when someone would say, a client would say, well, I just really want to feel love. I don't feel like I've ever really felt loved before. Well, Oprah would flood me with love. Like I'm doing air quotes, love. Like unconditional, like love, like you've never experienced it, like you wish you could experience, like the mother's love, like the like love, and just flood me with it. And then I would transmit it to the person. But I mean, I would be crying and shaking and I would have trouble breathing. I mean, I had physical, palpable, tangible, tactile, kinesthetic response to everything that they did. And that was healing to me. I was receiving the love that the other person was summoning. And so it's very tactile for me. Everything that I do with it is kinesthetic in the long run. It's in my body.
This is I definitely think, okay, there is something to this here. As someone that has never experienced a conversation with a divine entity, or at least that I'm aware of. It's hard for me to wrap my head around it, but that's why I have someone like you on to help me wrap my head around it. I mean, it's amazing that. Yeah, if somebody is sitting there, okay, here's my question. Let me ask you this. Somebody that might be a little bit skeptical of this.
He might some.
If you did have some, have you ever worked with anybody that was somewhat skeptical, but then all of a sudden after experiencing this love from Oprah, they're like, okay, yeah, no, I believe you.
If they were skeptical, I didn't match their vibration, so I wouldn't have noticed.
Interesting. What is the relationship between you as a coach in general versus you when you turn Oprah on? Because you were alluding to that a little bit. I feel that sometimes there are definitely people out there that call themselves intuitives that say they channel or they have access to something else, and you might not even get the channel side. They might just use their intuition and their psychic skills to work with you. Do you feel that you also are gifted in that way, or does Oprah always have to make an appearance?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that because when I first started receiving Oprah, and then I started realizing, I really want to do a lot of this. I want to help people. Which would involve, charging for people. I had to go through the whole thing. Do I actually want to charge for this? Because this just feels different from just regular coaching, which is all I had done up until then. And at first thought, well, what I'll do is I'll receive Oprah for someone, like maybe for the first half, and then I'll come back and I'll help them interpret, we'll discuss. But I quickly discovered that nobody needed that. We didn't need that because Oprah didn't need that. Like, and I was better staying kind of in the background and just keeping my mouth shut. And then we did that for a long time. I did not say anything at all. And then probably I'm going to say going into the second year, actually once COVID hit, so it was a little bit more than a year into my this experience. And I was getting a lot of, I was offering very, very low cost just to help people because people were struggling so much. And I had gotten some really direct information, I guess, from Oprah. And so some people are really freaked out by it. And I wouldn't call them skeptical, but because they come and they have their list a lot of times. But then when Oprah comes on board, they panic a little bit. They get overwhelmed and they forget what they can't talk and they get very overwhelmed. Some people, not very many, certainly not now, but during that COVID time period where I was just talking to anybody who felt like they needed to talk to somebody. So in that time, I started thinking, I want to give people the option to say, Oprah, I want to talk to Ramona now, or Ramona, I'm ready to talk to Oprah now. And so, and a good friend came up with the name Ramopra way early on, which I never really used until I started realizing what it did.
Ramopra. I love
Ramopra,
these puns. The Abraham
right?
hamsters,
Abraham just
Ramopra. I mean, this is, yes, great wordplay in the channeling world. Yeah, I'll give you a lot of credit for that. Yes.
Thanks. So anyway, so I started making that available, but in I would say 99% of clients, 99% of the time, just want to talk to Oprah because Oprah gets right to the meat of the matter. Oprah reads the client's vibration, reads whatever they need, whatever I need from their background, from their current, from their future, from their feelings, from whatever it is, their beliefs. Frequently, it's their beliefs, their limiting beliefs, and gives me enough of a thought block is what I get from Oprah, and then I'm getting better and better at converting that into actual words. And so when I say those words that are directly from Oprah, they're extremely helpful. They're personalized just to that person. It's not just kind of generic principles, which a lot of coaching is. It's like, well, a lot of times when this happens, we can try that or this or that. But Oprah will actually say, well, when you were a child, you fell on that foot. For example, I had a client that was not understanding something that was going on in her life, and they saw her falling off of a what do you call it? Like a jungle gym, like where you go, it's like a ladder that goes horizontal. And we saw very clearly, her coming and falling and hurting a foot or an ankle. And that turned out to be the key linchpin or whatever you want to call it to everything that she was experiencing. So very, and somebody says, well, I can't, I've tried meditating. I've tried meditating. I can't do it. And Oprah will see, a waterfall or fire or whatever, and so they have a very specific answer that I cannot even remotely not compete with because I'm not competing. But it's like, why would I be me when I'm Oprah? So very rarely does anybody say, hey, I want to talk to Ramona now. So.
Is that, I was going to ask, what do you mean by vibrational mentoring?
So I like the word mentoring because teacher kind of implies that I know more than you do, or you know more than I do. And in the law of attraction, that one of the really basic concepts is you match each other. And so if I'm here, I'm doing my hands, you can't see them, but if I'm at one level and then my so-called student is at a lower level and I perceive that person at a lower level, I have to come down to their level to perceive them there. And if I just talk at my level, then sometimes they can't find me because they're not at my level. So as a mentor, I like the idea, the word mentor, because a mentor kind of role models and serves as a beacon and just kind of tweaks here and there. It's not, they're not taking full responsibility for being a teacher, like, a syllabus and content that you have to learn. I'm going to impart it to you and then you're going to achieve it and then I'm going to test you on it. Like all of those things are kind of implied with teacher. So that's why mentor. And then vibrational because the entire universe is vibrational. And we're taught to think, we're taught to act, but we're not really taught how to feel a vibration and feel our response to it, or feel what vibration we are actually generating. Where am I vibrating right now? Because every single thing in the universe is vibrating at a certain frequency. And if I know where I'm vibrating and can control it through my focus, then I've got every tool I need to achieve anything I want in life, to feel any way I want, to receive anything I want, to connect with anyone I want in any way I want. Everything comes to me when I can match my vibration to what it is that I want. So it's the building block of everything. So I'm a vibrational mentor.
So wait, now this makes me very intrigued by what you're able to wake up in people. On one level, it's an amazing experience to hear the exact wisdom you need to hear, specifically tailored to your personal circumstances from this infinite intelligence. But then on the other level, to actually then get someone in control of their vibrational state, or wiping away a limiting belief simply through this infinite intelligence and power. That's something that's, well, it's hard for me to understand. So during these sessions, my question is this, what are the various ways Oprah intervenes to make these vibrations emanate
There's
from
no
someone?
intervention. There's no
Oh.
intervention. No, it's not that Oprah is intervening or superseding or injecting. Never. Nobody can actually inject anything into your experience. And nor would you want them to, even if you think you do, because that's just not the way the universe is set up. Each of us chooses and takes full responsibility, the only responsibility, for where we're vibrating. Babies do it. Unborn fetuses do it. Animals do it. Everybody does it. And so, if you're not getting the results you want, you're not vibrating where you need to be vibrating. And so you need to learn how to determine where you're vibrating, and you do that through your guidance system. You have to be in your body, or a full resident in your body. And so that's what a lot of what the mentoring involves is, because Oprah can feel if you and I were sitting across from each other, or on Zoom or whatever, and you were having trouble with something, Oprah could actually say, as we were having a discussion, Oprah frequently will say, "Oh, you feel that right now? You feel that in your left arm, or you feel that tingling on your skin right now, or do you feel that ache in your butt right now, or whatever it is?" Yes, okay. And so sometimes it's what? Yeah, I feel that. And then they'll say, "That's it. That's it. That's your vibration. That's your guidance. Your guidance is speaking to you right
Interesting.
now. Your inner being is speaking to you right now through your body." And so it doesn't take very many of those before people start to really open to what's within them.
So
And
Oprah's kind of like a director in a way, and you still, and I'm the actor, and you're noticing what I'm doing in the scene, and you're accurate about what you're picking up on, but then it's
sure.
still my responsibility to make
Yes.
the adjustments based on the wisdom that this director is
Yes.
picking up
Yes.
on.
And Oprah can give ideas. Like I said, if somebody's saying, "Well, I know I need to meditate, but and I've tried for years and I just can't." So there are tools. Of course, Abraham has come out with a lot of what they call tools, processes for achieving a higher vibration, and for kind of figuring out what's going on. Oprah's less, the Abraham is much geared towards the masses, like teach as many people as possible these processes. They publish a lot of books, and they've been just incredibly successful, incredibly useful, incredibly positive impact on our culture in general, I would say. In fact, the world, not just our culture, but the entire world is waking up more and more as a response to their teachings. What Oprah and I do seem to like to do is much more on an intimate level, personalized just to that one person. That one person gets the gate, because you get into the hot seat, you might have the gaze of source upon you for 3 or 4 minutes. Here, you can do 60 minutes. You can actually buy 2 60-minute things, and we'll put them together. You can have 120 minutes of uninterrupted gaze of source upon you.
Gaze
If
of source. I love
yeah.
that phrase.
Well, I don't think I created that. That's probably an Abraham phrase, but it's palpable. It's palpable when you look into the eyes of source. It's not a particularly human experience. It's a distinctly different experience.
Yeah, I don't care how many TikTok followers you have out there, dear listener. Is the gaze of source watching your latest video? Because I don't think so. Okay, that's
That's
where Ramona's
hilarious.
tapped into. That's where Mo that's what you need to have following your account. Okay, folks. Yeah, that's wild. The gaze of
Hilarious.
source. So wait a minute. So wait a minute. In terms of then the body and the way the body is, are you actually doing, are you having them physicalize when they're in a session with you, and then is source then reflecting what's happening? I mean, I'm trying to picture, I'm just trying to picture the scene of a session with
No,
you.
it's not a there's it's not like I'm saying, "Okay, move your left arm," and then they do it. It's nothing like that. It's a matter of focus. So a vibrational mentor, and I coined the phrase, so I guess I'm the only one. So as a vibrational
Yes.
mentor, I am, or Oprah is, Ram Oprah is helping people to understand what it feels like, therefore what they should be focusing on. Because people, if they're not in touch with their bodies, and if they've been taught to pretty much ignore their bodies. You know, look at athletes are taught to play through pain. You know, girls are taught to, you know, submit sexually to whatever happens to them. Boys are taught to never cry. You know, we're all taught to kind of start ignoring our bodies very early on. And so if you've been ignoring your body, then it's really helpful to get some guidance that actually goes with your own body, like not the generic bodies out there, but my own body. If I can get some guidance on what it feels like for me, what it actually feels like, what that tingly sensation or that rapid breath or the itching on the bottoms of the feet or all the, I mean, the body is just ingenious at communicating with us in ways that are metaphorical so many times.
Yes.
And it's just a matter of learning to interpret it. So to be open to feeling it. And then once you feel it, figure out what it means and then what to do about it. And, you know, it sounds painstaking in a way, but it's a process that can happen very quickly in just a couple of weeks for a lot of people. All of a sudden they're like, oh my God, this happened and that happened and this happened. And they're just off and running because we're not learning anything new. We're remembering. Because if you think of a baby, even a toddler, you go over and pinch a toddler's cheeks, they were not going to just take it. They're going to be like, stop that. They're going to kick you. Yes. They're going to bite you. They're going to be no. And so, but by the time we're adults, we've learned to just sit there and take it. And you only can do that by ignoring it, by suppressing it, by pretending it's not important and it doesn't matter. And it's not an offense to our free sovereign nation within us. So that's the only way you can do that. So reversing that is a matter of remembering. And of course, you know, some people take to it like a duck to water, like I did. And other people, it takes a while, but it's not hard. And it's very organic feeling to the person. Once we get going, it's very organic.
I was going to say, the idea of releasing and removing the resistance, I'm trying to make the connection in my head between, that's probably the problem because it's in the body where I make the connection. What I mean is that between feeling it and noticing where you're feeling and then releasing it so that all of a sudden you're own channel is now open to things.
Yes.
What do you attribute to? I mean, you said for some people it takes longer than others. I certainly know, as an advocate, as on this show, I always say hypnosis is a very quick path. I've trained in it and mm-hmm. I've seen rapid results from people when it comes to releasing limiting beliefs and stuff like that.
I have too, absolutely.
And I think it's a great start. What do you attribute to what you're seeing as a general trend, I guess, from people that are able to recognize the vibration and then release it in a way that allows them to then succeed?
The people who do or the people who don't?
The people
that
do, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious what
those
commonalities
are. The people...
are.
So there's only one commonality, and that's readiness. Just like there's only one commonality between humans. There's only two piles of humans, as this is a direct Abraham quote practically. There's only two piles of human, those who are in alignment right now and those who are not. You can try separating us into races and genders and nationalities and personality types and blood types, and you could just go on, and none of that matters. You're either in alignment right now, not yesterday, right now, or you're not. And if you start to see everyone that way, then it is so easy to have compassion and love for anyone who's not in alignment, because it's like binary. It's so clear. It's so
yeah.
Clear.
Wait, take it down to everyday life for people that maybe aren't as deep into this, that don't really know what alignment is. I mean, if you were to go into a cafe right now, imagine we're going into a cafe and you see someone that's
cafe,
in alignment,
right?
Someone that's in alignment versus someone that isn't. I mean, what are some telltale signs?
Well, it's all about how we feel. So if I'm feeling a little off today, if I'm angry, if I'm sad, if I'm grief-stricken, if I'm guilty, if I'm ashamed, I'm out of alignment. If I'm bored, even, I'm out of alignment. Once I'm content, satisfied, joyful, happy, loving, then I'm in alignment. So it's just in how I'm feeling. And so how somebody's feeling can be expressed in so many different ways. But if you're paying attention to the alignment instead of the action, it gets really easy because you can feel it. You can feel it from the other person. I did an experiment once. My brother-in-law was having surgery. So I was at the hospital with my sister, was just helping out in general. She was exhausted. You know, we'd finally gotten him into surgery and she'd been up all night. And so she went to sleep. And so here I was, you know, not near my home and at the hospital with nothing really much going on. I had no, you know, dog in the fight, as they say. It wasn't a huge, you know, emotional thing for me. And I was fairly new at all this. And I noticed based on a couple of interactions that a lot of the people at the hospital were very low vibration, very out of alignment. They were worried or they were angry. Most of them were worried and some of them were depressed and sad. Yes, there was a lot of sadness there. So definitely. I started just roaming the halls, just concentrating, focusing purely on myself, keeping my vibration high. I was la, 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 you know, just walking along and just being like pure alignment, pure high vibration, pure happiness, pure joyfulness, pure love to the best of my ability. And then every time I got near another human, I would interact with them from my high vibration. I wouldn't try to match them where they were. I wouldn't pay any attention to where they were. I would just stay in my high vibration. And what I discovered very quickly, it was astonishing to me, even though I knew this intellectually, but I had never proven it. If they were low enough vibration, if there was somebody sitting there in a chair or walking down the hall, wringing her hands, you know, and looking down and hunched shoulders and just obviously very worried, I would say, "Hi, how are you?" Right in her face. And she could not hear me or see me. She could not hear me or see me. We were like two ships passing in the night, that old phrase.
Wow.
And yet if I came around the corner, even from a long distance away, not singing or humming or anything, just walking, and somebody was fairly high vibration, they would actually turn around to see who was coming because they could feel my vibration coming down the hall. That was the dramatic difference between high vibration and low vibration and whether you can match it or not. You can't. You cannot match low vibration with high vibration. You have to come down to match it and vice versa. If you're low vibration and somebody else is high vibration and you want to be a match with them, you want to connect with them, you've got to come up to where they are or else you won't be able to talk to them. You won't be able to understand each other. You might not even be able to see them.
Oh, that is such an interesting experiment that you pulled off. I'm very fascinated by this. Is this something that people can try in their daily lives, you think?
Absolutely. Just practice maintaining a high vibration a lot, probably before you would try it. Because otherwise, most humans are walking around with a lot of mixed vibration.
The thing I was going to say. How do you get attuned to it? Because at this point, I imagine you knew what an actual high vibration was versus...
Absolutely. I had practiced it for several years by the time I did this. So we're taught mixed vibrations. We're taught to make pro and cons lists, right?
Yes.
What are the pros? That's yes, no. We're taught to make a list of options before we make a final decision. That's a mixed vibration. We're not taught to put all our eggs in one basket. We're taught to diversify and hedge our bets and have a plan B. Those are all examples of fairly benign mixed vibrations. If your lover has just died in your arms and you're learning how to be happy and happiness is flooding you sometimes and then grief is knocking you over onto the floor, that's a really graphic, you know, wide range example of mixed vibrations. But almost all humans, even ones that study this stuff a lot, are walking around at least sometimes with a fairly mixed vibration. So you want to practice high vibration a lot before you'd start that experiment. But I guarantee you anybody could do it. In fact, I posted that night what was going on in one of my Abraham groups. And we came up with somebody coined a phrase. So you're walking around enjoying them. So I was annoying them with my joy. So I was enjoying them. It became a phrase in the Abraham fun groups for a while. Or have you enjoyed anybody recently? Because the people who were close enough to me, but not completely there, could see me and hear me. And I was very annoying to them because I was way too happy. You know, don't you know you're in a hospital? This is serious. And I wasn't, curious enough. So I was enjoying them. So yeah, it was, it's, I would call it an advanced process or an advanced, game to play. It's just a game. But yeah, practice feeling high vibration. And you do that not by wrestling or rejecting or suppressing your low vibration feelings. Just if you're feeling angry or something, say, okay, I'm feeling all right. That's all right. I'm just going to let it go. And now I'm going to not wrestle that feeling to the ground. I'm just going to focus on whatever, you know, baby elephants or flowers or tree trunks, you know, tree leaves, fronds, you know, whatever turns you on, whatever makes you happy. Pine nuts, you know, the color pink. It doesn't matter. Do whatever it takes to feel good is kind of the mantra. Do whatever it takes to feel good. Do whatever it takes to feel good. And you'll find immediately that the society doesn't want you to do that. You're supposed to be, you're supposed to feel bad about starving children. You're supposed to always feel bad about whatever's on the media, you know, what. So there's a certain amount of what we call blissipline, which is the commitment to
another pun. You're filled with them. Yes.
Well,
yes.
That one's from Mary Cordelia. She runs a group called Blissipline, and she came up with that. I think that she can't, or she got it from somewhere. So almost nothing I'm saying is new.
I know. I love that you're giving credit. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. But yeah. Hey, no, it is new to have Oprah come through you. I mean, that's it's pretty weird.
But you know, it's not a new concept. People, anybody who's come up with any invention received it. The great composers, many of them thought, I'm a classical musician is my original career, so I'm very familiar with, they talk so much. In fact, my late partner was a composer, and she talked so much about music just flowing into her from, she didn't know where. And most of the great composers say that, I woke up one morning and it was there. So that's, we're all doing it. When we're in the zone, if you're an athlete and you have this really great day and you do foul shot after foul shot after foul shot and you can't miss, you're channeling. It's not a big deal. We can all do it.
Ramona, I have to ask you about the lifestyle now of being a channeler.
Okay.
Do people, you know, saying you're a vibrational mentor definitely fits in, but I do think, you know, I wonder how often the Oprah thing comes up when people first have a conversation about your work.
Well, you know, I actually don't talk too much about my my Oprah work with the mainstream.
Yeah.
Because what I found was that it weirded people out and it made them uncomfortable. And not that I'm taking responsible for their feelings or anything, but it didn't go anywhere. So I tell people, I have a couple of other things that I really like real estate investing. I've been an investor my whole life since I was basically 22 years old, bought my first investment property.
Wow.
And I enjoy that. So I talk about that. I talk about being a life coach sometimes. And if they express any interest, or if somebody comes up to me and says, wait a minute, I just realized you're Oprah. You know, well, then of course we talk about it. It's not a secret or anything. I just don't bring it up. Doesn't seem to, you know, it's such a specialized thing. The clients that I have, I get them all by word of mouth.
Yeah.
And one person has a great experience and they know, you know, they're in a group with somebody. So we're all sort of a certain mindset, you know, a certain growth oriented, open to change, open to abundance. Even if you have a severe poverty consciousness, if you would like to have an abundance consciousness, then you'd have a great time with Oprah. But a lot of people really have not allowed themselves to even dream of abundance. They've decided that money is bad, abundance is bad, happiness is bad, like the people at the hospital, you know, under certain circumstances, we should, you know, be politically protesting and protective of the, you know, there's like two completely different trains of thought. And so I'm very open with anybody who is open, and I just kind of I don't even mention it. And for, you know, with anybody, if I'm not really sure if they're kind of closed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. I wonder if I came to you and said, hey, look, I want my desire that I'm not attached to is to channel Oprah Winfrey.
Uh-huh.
And I want Oprah to tell me what I have to do to get there.
Yeah, we could
Really?
absolutely teach you. Yeah, we could take you there and teach you if that's what you wanted. Absolutely.
Really?
Anything that you want without any, and I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say you don't have any huge limiting beliefs against that. You might have a little bit of a skepticism or a little bit of a wariness or a little bit of hesitation, like, do I, is that even really what I want? Or,
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, what happens if I try for something and I don't get it? Like, those are kind of normal amounts of resistance. That's easily dispensed with, just little normal amounts of resistance. I mean, you know, we have to, we're human. We have stuff like that all the time. We have thoughts going on that, you know, that the point is to not let a thought gain momentum. If it's an unwanted thought, if it's a resistant thought, it's not like you have to, you know, cancel every negative thought you ever had. Oh God, I shouldn't have thought that. You know, it's not like that at all. You know, and a lot of people do seem to think it's like that, the law of attraction approach or the concept, the theory. It's not like that. Just don't let it gain momentum. Don't feed it with energy. Don't feed it by saying no. The universe only hears yes. If you shout no at something, the universe hears yes and says, okay, here's more of it. You like that, right? Here's more.
Right.
That's why protests are so counterproductive.
Yeah. Interesting.
So
Very.
yeah, come on board and I'll teach you how to do that. Or
Well,
I
look
should
at.
say Oprah will, Ramoprah will teach you. I don't know which of us will be
Oh
present, but it'll probably be Oprah. But yeah, absolutely, we could do that. That would be fun.
my gosh. Well, look, everybody listening, Ramona Gailey is offering a very special deal. If you're interested in an initial vibrational mentoring session, there's a discount. Yes, you will get 30% off with the coupon code OpenLoops30. That's in all caps, OpenLoops30. If you're willing to go on this ride, that seems to be, I mean, a lot of testimonies, people that have been to Abraham seminars praising this being just as powerful, if not more. So yeah, if you want to see the law of attraction in action and experience something that seems to be, well, just beyond material reality, the gaze of source, the gaze of source. That's really what we're pitching here. You want the gaze of source? Open loops 30. Get gazed at by source. It's a comfortable gaze. It's a loving gaze. It's not that BS superficial gaze. Yeah, it's a. I really appreciate you making that offer to my listeners, Ramona. I hope
Oh, my
people take you
pleasure.
up on it.
Yeah.
It's
I
awesome.
hope so too. That would be really great.
Do you think any more entities will come through you? Do you anticipate any more different names besides Oprah getting
No.
channeled through you at some point?
No, not at all. I'm very comfortable with where I am, and I mean, in the end, you know, we all choose. Well, not even in the end. At every single moment, we're all choosing as we're creating our reality around this, and I think that I know that I have the arrangement that works for me, and I don't anticipate, you know, it's not a it's not a I don't think I can even think of the right word. It's not a shtick, you know, it's just kind of a little piece of who I am. And so no, I don't anticipate it changing at all.
Interesting. I wonder what would happen. Look, okay. If you're ever in a position, and I'm speaking this to you, Ramona,
Yes.
so just remember this consciously. If you're ever in a position where Abraham comes through and wants FaceTime through you, and Oprah's like, "Hey, no, wait. It's I've been here." And Abraham's like, "No." And they duke it out.
Well,
Give me a ring immediately. I want to put that
okay,
on the
so
show."
that's so vibrationally not accurate, but I will tell you what happens, okay?
I know. Okay,
So
fine.
when somebody is summoning, like one time a client was just talking about the fact that she really wished that she'd not gotten a chance to meet Jerry, who was Esther's husband. So Esther receives Abraham. Jerry was her husband. He passed away in 2011, I believe. And this client was expressing some desire, like, oh, I would have really loved to have met Jerry. And Jerry came through and spoke with her. And another time, in fact, I think it was the same client. Another time, who was it? It was I think it was the guy that wrote Think and Grow Rich. Who is that?
Oh, Napoleon Hill.
Napoleon Hill, was it Napoleon Hill? It was somebody else came through and spoke to her, and it wasn't a long conversation, and it actually wasn't a conversation. It was just a sentence and then gone again. It was like a hit and run, sentence. And but so that does happen a little bit, but see, each of us, as we're receiving infinite intelligence, we are interpreting. So the idea that, like, let's say you wanted to receive Oprah Winfrey, and I'm over here receiving my Oprah, and then you wanted them to have a conversation, and then you wanted to know if Oprah Winfrey actually was aware of it or something like that.
Yes,
It
right.
wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen because it would be your relationship with the inner being of Oprah Winfrey. And by the way, you can summon anybody who's passed over into the afterlife now, who's currently alive, or somebody who hasn't even been born yet. You can summon anything or anyone you want because you choose, because you are the summoner, and the summoning is what's controlling the universe, is what's controlling isn't the right word. It's what's driving, it's what's feeding the expansion of the universe, all of our desires. So
Has
when we have
anybody
a
ever asked for
desire,
something like this? Any has anyone ever
no.
asked, I guess, for some special I wonder if anybody's ever come to you and said, "Hey, look, you know what? My life's great, but I just want to be psychic. Help me."
A couple people, ha I have, we have, Oprah and I have helped a couple of people achieve some version of that. We don't use the word psychic. I don't even really know what psychic means. I've never been to a psychic.
That's interesting too.
I've been to a medium once after Betty died, and it was a medium that she had used to speak with her deceased son. And it was before, I really
Right,
got solid
right.
at all. I was still dealing with a lot of grief. And but other than that, I mean, I'm telling you, my spirituality paradigm was non-existence before all this happened. Like, I had even tried to, like I was a trumpet player, and so I played a lot of church services. So I would sit there listening to the whatever the sermon was in all of these different denominations, the phrases and sayings that they would have at weddings and at funerals, and I heard all this stuff, and it just, I tried to identify with it. I tried to resonate with it, and I just couldn't. I had no, not one spiritual belief
Wow.
or paradigm before all this happened. I was a blank slate.
That's interesting. What a life. What a life journey. Yeah. Fascinating stuff. Everybody, again, the link to this is going to be in the show notes. Coupon code open loops 30 in all caps, 30% off a initial vibrational mentoring session. Yeah, this has been very fascinating. I'm very curious to see, well, I don't know, will Oprah trump the real Oprah? Will this inner spirit become more successful? Who knows? Okay, let me just jump the gun here. Will your Oprah run for president one day? That's what America wants to know.
No.
Infinite intelligence, you're not going to be in the highest office right now. But that's
Infinite
it.
intelligence is way too intelligent to be a
That's what I was going
politician.
to say. Yes, you got there before I did.
Sorry, I
Yes,
beat you to it.
you
Sorry.
did. No, you're good. You're good.
It's your show and everything. I'm sorry.
No. You did the right thing there. It's good. Ramona, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a great, very, very enlightening and mind-bending conversation.
Well, Greg, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much. Anytime, I'd love to come back anytime.
Awesome. Ramona Gailey, a great addition to the Shh series. Thanks so much, Ramona, for coming on. I want to thank Rodney McGilvery for the theme music. And if you are all enjoying the Shh series, Manifestation in 2021, please make sure to follow this podcast on Apple, as well as rate this show and leave a review. I am so grateful for those of you who have so far. Even a few words helps. All right, everybody. We have some more mind-blowing law of attraction content coming tomorrow. Looking forward to it.